the hearing and believing or building faith. The one who believes has to do certain things. He has to change his affections, and he has to change his actions. He does this in repentance. John 3:18-20. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and in love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. If I like darkness, why would I go to the light? If I like to live in sin, why would I want to go to the one who requires of me holiness? Those two things are inconsistent. As we saw or heard in the prayer earlier, we can't continue in sin. We can't be sinful ones and have an opportunity to enter heaven. What we require is repentance. So John 3:16, we see there, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:21, we see that man must do truth. Between John 3:16 and John 3:21 is that passage we just read in John 3:18-20. If we want to enjoy the salvation that God offers to all men, verse 16, we're going to have to do truth. Verse 21, that involves our giving up trying to live in darkness. We have to repent of that. Jesus would reinforce the fact that belief was more than mental recognition. He would reinforce this idea that repentance was one of those things which man would have to do in this way. He said in Matthew 21:32, for if John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you believed it not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. When you should have repented, you repented not, that ye might believe him. What was necessary in their belief? They had to have repented. Well, let's move on. Another of these things which one must do being motivated by faith is to proclaim Christ. Christ told us in Matthew 10:32-33 that we're told his disciples, and certainly applies to us, that if we will confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father which is in heaven. But if we will deny him before men, he will deny us before his Father which is in heaven. If I want to be able to enjoy eternity with Christ, I can't spend this temporal life denying him. I must be confessing him. That begins before I'm converted. That is an action which leads to my being converted, my having my sin washed away in baptism. Romans 10:9-11, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, the confessing and the belief we're working toward shall be that salvation. Continuing there, with the heart and belief of that righteousness, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Some may respect Jesus to some degree, but if they don't recognize and acknowledge the exalted position that the Lord holds, they're not doing the will of God. I want you to notice what we've seen thus far. One has to hear. That's an action which man can't perform. One must believe. That's something that man must do. He must build that faith. And that faith alone isn't going to save. Man must repent. That's something that man does. Man must confess that Christ is has undoubtedly heard that. Nothing could be further from the truth. The four things which we just mentioned are things that man can do. But consider Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul was told in Acts 22:16, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In both of those cases and the other cases regarding baptism, baptism is not something that the person who wants to be saved does. Baptism is something that the person who wants to be saved submits to. He is taken down into the water, lowered by another person, raised up from that water by another person. But even that other person isn't performing the action. According to Colossians 2:12, that action is being performed by God. When we're baptized, we are demonstrating our faith in the operation of God. Because it's at that point that our sins are, going back to Acts 22:16, washed away. It is at that point, Romans 6:3-4, that we are buried with Christ in baptism, so that we can be raised from that water, new creatures. There's nothing special about the water. What's special is that where man contacts the blood of Christ. Someone who believes that baptism doesn't save, you could ask this question. My friend, let's say that I have a white t-shirt, and I get a stain on that white t-shirt. How am I going to get rid of that stain? Can I simply wave that stain and it be gone? No. Can I believe that the stain is not there and it be gone? No. Can I just get it wet and it be gone? No. Can I just get it wet and scrub it and it be gone? No. In order for that stain to be gone, I'm going to have to take a cleansing agent and water and rub that cleansing agent on that stain. Then when I brought it out from the water, the stain will be gone. Friends, the water isn't what saves us. The cleansing agent that we meet in the water, that's what saves us. That's the blood of Christ. Revelation 1:5. That's how we become a Christian. And I've spent a little longer on that than I intended to. So for just a minute, let's talk about faithfulness. God has always put a premium on faithfulness. Think about faithful Abraham, Nehemiah 9:8. Faithful Moses, Numbers 12:7. Faithful David, 1 Samuel 22:14. Faithful Daniel, Daniel 6:4. Faithful Timothy, 1 Corinthians 4:17. Faithful Tychicus, Ephesians 6:21. Faithful Epaphras, Colossians 1:17. Faithful Onesimus, Colossians 4:9. Faithful Paul, 1 Timothy 1:12. Faithful Silvanus or Silas, 1 Peter 5:12. The faithful Ephesians, Ephesians 1:1. The faithful Colossians, Colossians 1:2. Does faithfulness mean something to God? It means everything to God. It's not enough for us to have gone through the means of being saved. If all we're going to do after we have our sins washed away is to go back into a world of sin, we would be just as lost as we would be if we had never obeyed in the first place. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And we can remember from Revelation 2:10 that in order to receive the crown of life, we need to be faithful unto death. Now in that context, what's taking place is the church is being persecuted. The devil would try of the brethren, 10 days, that is, there would be a prolonged period, a complete persecution. But if they would be found faithful after that persecution, they would receive a crown of life. The crown there is a stephanos, not a diadema. The diadema would be the diadem, the royal crown. That's not what we get. We get the stephanos. The stephanos is the victory crown. You remember the name? Burgundy Christian martyr. His name is Stephen. What an appropriate name for one who was faithful unto death. His very name meant crown. That's what we'll receive if we are found faithful. Well, it's possible that we could fall away having initially been obedient. And there are any number of excuses that we might have for falling away. It may be that our faith isn't what it ought to have been, Ephesians 3:20-21. It may be that we grew indifferent, Revelation 3:15-16. It may be that we're lazy, Amos 6:1. It may be that we have a lack of training, 1 Peter 3:15. It may be that we have a lack of leadership, Ezekiel 34. It may be that we lack motivation, Luke 19:10. It may be that we had an improper motivation, Matthew 6:2. Maybe we were distracted. In this day and age, that's easier now than perhaps ever, Ephesians 5:16. Could be that we fell to discouragement, Psalm 31:23-24. Maybe we just lost focus, Proverbs 29:18. Maybe we didn't take advantage, not recognizing our opportunities, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Maybe we didn't want to have opportunities, Titus 2:14. Or maybe we simply didn't have the sense of urgency that's required in service to God, Zephaniah 1:12. But you know, it doesn't matter the reason or the excuse. If we stand before God on the day of judgment, having become unfaithful, we shall not receive the crown of life. Now, it may be the case that you're here tonight and you have not been faithful. But the beautiful thing is that not only did God provide a means by which one could be saved initially through baptism, God provided that avenue, that second law of pardon that we speak of sometimes, by which one who had wandered away from Him might be returned. That's a wonderful blessing. It's a blessing which hasn't always been appreciated. In fact, in the 3rd and 4th centuries after the church had been established, people had wandered so far from a recognition of that second law of pardon that they thought that if you sinned after you became a Christian, one of two things was the case. Either you could not be saved again, or you might have to go back and restart the whole process. The wonderful thing with regard to our God is our God wants the sinner to repent. Our God is the Father of the parable of the prodigal son. He is making it easy for the sinner to repent because He is outside of the gate looking down the road wanting for that child to come back. Is that a point for what makes it difficult for the child of God to be restored? No. What the child of God does in order to be restored is in repents of sin. He confesses that sin. He prays that God forgive him of that sin. Having done those things, he walks in the light again. 1 John 1:8-11. So the blood of Jesus Christ will continue cleansing him of sin. This evening, we have seen both becoming a Christian and remaining faithful. We've noticed only the surface of the study. I hope that you will consider the things that we've said and study them further. Are you this sinking in the position of not being a child of God. Tonight, we can walk away from this building with hope of eternity firmly in store if you will let obey the gospel tonight. Hear His word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized to have your sins be washed away, Acts 22:16, or as the cancer going into remission, have them lose their effect, Acts 2:38. Maybe the case that you're here and you're a child of God, but you wonder why you can be restored tonight and walk away with that joy restored if you will let them confess and pray that those sins will be forgiven. Do those things publicly as the sins of a public nature. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you do, worship Christ together with saints.